Herzlich willkommen zu Personality Talks, deinem Podcast für ein freies und inspiriertes Leben voller Persönlichkeit. Was will ich? Wer bin ich? Und was brauche ich eigentlich für ein zufriedenes Leben? Tue ich das, was ich liebe? Wenn du dir diese Fragen auch schon immer mal stellen wolltest und keine Angst vor den Antworten hast, dann bist du genau richtig hier bei uns. Ich bin Simone, 36 Jahre, Yoga- und Meditationslehrerin und habe zusammen mit meiner Freundin Sabine Personality Mag gegründet. Ein Online-Magazin rund um Persönlichkeitsentwicklung, Self-Care, Wellbeing und Empowerment. Personality Talks ist der Podcast zu unserem Magazin, in dem wir spannende Persönlichkeiten zum Gespräch treffen, euch unsere Tipps für ein erfülltes Leben verraten, gemeinsam meditieren und voneinander lernen. Ich freue mich riesig auf die heutige Folge, auf Folge Nummer 3, denn ich spreche mit Erika Jago. Erika ist Vinyasa- und Kundalini-Yoga-Lehrerin, Mutter einer kleinen Tochter, Designerin und Autorin zahlreicher Bücher. Die meisten Yogis werden den Bestseller The Art of Attention kennen, das sie gemeinsam mit Elena Brower herausgebracht hat. Zusammen mit Ross Vanderkamp hat Erika Jago das brandneue Chakra-Buch Angelus kreiert. Die Weltenbummlerin Erika Jago ist bekannt für ihren Ansatz, Yoga mit Kreativtechniken zu verbinden und gibt Retreats auf der ganzen Welt. Im Gespräch erzählt sie sehr ehrlich, wie sie mit Covid umgeht und warum sie gerade ganz gut damit klarkommt, an einem Ort auf der Welt zu sein und zu bleiben. Wir sprechen über Kreativität bei Yogalehrern, was Angelus, der Titel ihres neuen Buches, bedeutet und welche Rolle Journaling in ihrem Leben und ihrer eigenen Praxis spielt. Viel Spaß mit dem Gespräch. Erika Jago, a really, really warm and happy welcome to our podcast Personality Talks.
Thank you for having me.
We are really thrilled for having you. So I'm trying to introduce you a little bit, which is not so easy because there's so much to say about you, and I'm sure also most of the audience knows you. But you are a Kundalini and Vinyasa yoga teacher. You are a graphic designer, co-author of the most famous yoga book, Art of Attention, that got translated into 6 languages. And you are the creator of the new book, Angelus, and you are a mother. So what would you say which role of the ones that I mentioned now is the most present at the moment?
Definitely the mother role, 100%.
The mother role.
Yeah. I have a little 2-year-old. She's going to be 2 on November 5th. And oh my goodness, she's the light of my soul. She is my favorite little thing on the entire planet.
That's nice. And she's named Noah, is that right?
Yeah, N-O-A, Noah.
Yeah, I have a son, and he's a little bit over 2 years, and he's also named Noah, but with an H at the end.
Yeah, isn't it such a good name?
Yeah, it's really nice. I love it. And it's also really nice for girls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love boys' names for girls. It's like my favorite. I like Alex and Sam and... yeah, all kinds of it. So I like those type of things. I actually was searching for a boy's name for a girl.
Nice. So where are you at the moment, and how are you kind of like surviving during the whole COVID thing?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was in Amsterdam and left on February 27th and made it to the United States a week before COVID hit. Mm. So I've been here permanently. And I've been living with my mom and my stepdad, or I live with my dad and my stepmom. We go between the two places, about 3 hours apart in the country, in Ohio. So my dad's place is along the Muskingum River, and it's where I grew up. I think the population is 3,000 people. It's a tiny little village. And surviving COVID has been excellent because, you know, I haven't really been acquainted with my parents because I was so like a nomad, living in Hawaii, living in San Francisco, living in Amsterdam, traveling around the world, giving the yoga and creativity retreats. And so to have me back here, they're super excited. And then to have a 2-year-old little girl with me, I don't know, my relationship with my families have really changed through this whole quarantine. I've really gotten to know my dad. I've bonded even deeper with my mother. So it's been quite a healing experience for us.
No, yeah, it's changing everything on all layers that we can imagine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's been, I don't know, I mean, the second wave now, thinking that we're all have to go back in. I don't know. I don't feel as much anxiety as I did the first time, mostly because I just stopped watching the news.
The name of our magazine is Personality. And what would you say, what does personality mean to you? And how would you describe your own personality at the moment?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, personality, I think, is deeply connected to your spirit. So it's the sort of energy. Your personality can uplift an entire room, or your personality could bring the energy down. So I feel like it has a lot to do with how spirited you are. Mm-hmm. My personality in general is, you know, I'm very playful. I wish I was funnier. I'm not as funny as I think I am. my two other sisters got that funny bone. I'm like the more serious, more spiritual one. They're the ones who will make your stomach hurt from laughing at them so hard. So I wish that was part of my personality. Yeah, I think I have a lot of femininity as well too, a lot of softness. But then if you study with me, like, I bring a lot of depth as well because of what I've personally experienced. And I think over time, you know, my personality was very hard for people to understand because I'm highly creative. And it's easy for me to move from one place to the next. So I'm very adaptable in that sense.
Highly creative. How would you, because we invited you also to the edition that is turning all around creativity. And I read a really nice thing on your website that I would like to quote, because it directly goes to the thing that you said now. So you're saying, I'm passionate about communication design and I'm fearless in my love for yoga. Finding a union between the two came very naturally because they both evoke meaning, beauty, transcendence, and most importantly, a creative process. Can you explain a little bit how yoga contributes to your creativity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I think that the yoga process or the yoga practice is something that you begin again and again and again. It's about that consistency. It's about the discipline of coming back to your mat. And every time you come back to the mat, you peel one layer away and you get closer and closer to your truth. I believe creative processes do the same thing to us. They lead us to our truth. It's about creating that discipline of, you know, if you're a writer, you're writing every day. If you're a painter, you're painting every day. If you're a graphic designer, you know, you're doing graphics every day. And you start to refine your art. And when you mix creativity and spirituality together, I think they're inseparable because your creativity is what colors and puts shape and form and expression into something much larger than yourself. So I think that they do go hand in hand. And I very much bring that into how I design yoga sequences, how I design the yoga retreats, and both of my books are showcasing that methodology. You know, how I design a yoga sequence is a process of thinking about what is the spiritual gift or the spiritual theme that I want to convey in class. How am I going to convey that gift? Am I going to do it through vinyasa? Am I going to do it through yin? Am I going to make an artful exercise? And then what can I say about those poses or those exercises that are going to relate it back to the spiritual theme? So, for example, the topic of truth. You know, in Angela's book, you will practice how to find your truth through a vinyasa sequence. And we use a lot of standing postures. So as, and also binding posture. So side angle pose in a bound. I don't know if you know this posture or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a warrior two legs.
Yes.
And then
yes.
you wrap your right arm underneath mm-hmm. your right thigh and you clasp around. So you're bound in warrior two legs. So that binding is kind of like a symbolism of whatever lies, whatever secrets you're holding on to. And then you look down and you step your back foot towards the top of your mat and you stand up into birds of paradise. And in order really to take that leap of faith from who you're saying you are to who you really are can be practiced in a simple bound angle pose to birds of paradise.
And that's that has a really lot to nice. Do with,
yeah?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's also one of my favorite transitions that we have kind of in the yoga practice. And that's nice that you're mentioning this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Yeah. And you know, when you stand up into birds of paradise, like you really need to depend on that left leg. And then you have to really kick through that right foot. And a lot of it is really about heart opening, you know, lifting the chest, rolling your shoulders back and down. So I think that to allow a practitioner, you know, give a practitioner space to feel that on the yoga mat. And then you're cueing like anatomical cueing, you're cueing emotional cueing, you know, that helps them start to feel that truth in their bodies. You know, I think that's something that anybody who practices yoga could take with you.
You talked already about Angelus, and I mean, it is really hard to describe by not holding this really, really special book in the hand. So when I hold it first time, I was like really impressed about all these, the costumes, the settings, the colors, the text. It is like, it is really like a masterpiece. So can you also explain what Angelus mean? Because I just read it yesterday in the book and I think it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, the title Angelus, is that what you mean?
Yes, yes.
Moment in the book where they said that it must have been 6 o'clock in the evening, Angelus hour, time when day turns to dusk. And they could hear the church bells ringing and the organ playing. And they said, you are always stronger than you believe and more beautiful than you can trust, or something in those lines. And it struck me like, 1,000 bells in my solar plexus. It's like, oh my gosh, this big resounding yes, that is the chakras. It's that transition from light to dark, dark to light. And to think that there's a word for that, you know, when our day ends into night and when the night turns day again, that's called Angelus hour in Catholicism. So I just thought it was a beautiful way of describing our own transformation from light to dark.
It's really nice. And you explained also in a post, so it is a compilation of 12 years of yoga and creativity retreats, what is all inside the book. So in the book, there's mentioned that the answers to life challenges are coming from within. Can you relate to that also personally? What does that mean for you personally?
Well, the beautiful thing about the chakra system is it's like a roadmap. You know, you have 7 major energy centers that you can drop into in your meditation practices and your breathing practices. And you can really sit in that seat at the base of your spine, or sit in that depth of your belly, or feel the fire of your will in your solar plexus, the love in your heart, you know, the throat, the third eye, the crown of the head. And each one of these major energy centers houses gifts and spiritual lessons. So even though it's abstract to think about, because we're not taught this in school, what the chakras do is they give you a location in your body. So if you have a broken heart, you know that you can place your hands on your heart center and you can begin to breathe in and out of that space, and you can activate that energy or that will or that love, sorry. And if you feel as though you're lacking self-esteem or your confidence is really low, by placing your hands on your solar plexus and spending time behind your ribs, breathing in and out, you start to feel how validation and acknowledgement is way more powerful when it comes from you than when someone else gives it to you. It's like if you feel really bad about yourself, and I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. You shouldn't feel bad about yourself. Are you really going to take that to heart? No, it has to be from you. You have to have an experience of it. And so that's why the book Angelus is experiential on all levels. It's a visual experience. It's an emotional experience. You know, it's even putting your body through a physical experience with the yoga postures. And to have that experience is invaluable.
Yeah, beautiful. It is, and it explains so nice how the challenges are coming from within, how we can relate to that also with the different rooms. It gives a complete new approach to the whole chakra work in a completely new and different way, like really playful, but at the same time, really deep. And it is, there's so many words to describe it that it's hard to describe it in short words. Because you said it, you are highly creative. What is there, or are there even days in your life where it is hard for you to unlock creativity, or do you always have a direct connection to your creativity?
I mean, of course, there's days when I'm low energy and I'm not inspired, mm-hmm. but I'm 43 years old now, and I feel like I've kind of gotten the formula down. I work really well with a structure.
Okay. So you have a routine, a structure that you repeat every day?
Yeah, my creativity is highest first thing morning. So for me to set my alarm for 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., depending on how tired I am, I'll wake up and I'll either do my morning pages where I'm journaling 3 pages, mm-hmm. and then I go immediately into email and design work because that's when I'm the most sharp. And then my daughter usually wakes up by 7:30, 8 a.m. We have breakfast. And on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, I go back onto the computer and she goes and stays with my parents. Mm-hmm. Then I have the rest of the time with her. Those days, because I know those are my only computer days, I'm usually incredibly driven and motivated to do as much as possible. And by journaling, I have a really good picture of what has priority that day. And so I make sure I get that done. So it seems pretty simple for me. Even if I'm feeling exhausted right around 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I just come off my chair, sit on the floor, do my yoga practice usually around those hours. And then I can come back in and finish maybe some of the stuff that I've kind of been dreading.
Yeah, that sounds nice. It is interesting that it's the same, that these early morning hours, that they can be so productive and so sharp. And it for me, it was complicated when the boy was younger and he woke up earlier, so that I needed to be even earlier than him to have an hour or something. But yeah, it is different than the middle of the day or something like this, right?
Way different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you get inspiration from when, you know, like you said it before, when there is low energy and you don't feel so inspired? Are you accepting this? Like, okay, there's a day I'm low in energy, I let the inspiration be asleep, or I let the inspiration just as it is? Or do you do something then to activate that?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm really low energy, I put my earphones on and I listen to music, like high energy music. I love electronic. I love rap music. But the creative process goes through different phases. So it depends on what phase I'm in. If I'm in, you know, concept development and I'm doing a lot of research, I can't listen to anything. It has to be completely silent in the room. If I'm in a place where I'm in production mode, then I could be watching Netflix and on the background and then doing my work. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. I listen to the craziest stuff. I love true crime podcast, like the scariest, most goriest stuff. I don't know where I get my inspiration from. I really only have like 10 books in my library.
Okay.
That I pull from. So if I'm designing a sequence on compassion, I have those books in my iBooks. And so I can type compassion in and I can search an entire book and see what it says about compassion. And then I pull from that into my talk that I'm giving or into my sequence that I'm designing. So everything's electronic for me because I was nomadic for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Where have you been when you had been nomadic?
Well, let's see, we went to Jordan to shoot chapter 3. We went to Iceland for chapter 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Netherlands for 6 years. The global retreats that I gave were in Mexico, Bordeaux, Italy. And then I was in Hawaii for 7 years.
Nice.
Then we went to Bali for another retreat, Thailand for another retreat. So
that is also
it's been really completely
changed for you now, or because all of these, I just talked to another teacher this week that she is also really regular with her retreats and she cannot do them this year and it's a completely cut now. So how does that feel for you just being at one place at the moment when you're used to travel so much?
Yeah, well, I'm good with it because retreats for me were starting to sort of filter out because
mm-hmm.
I did so many of them. I had 19 under my belt.
Okay.
And when I was, when I was in Lamar, we were working on the third chakra. And it was at that point in time that I really started to see that the way that I was structuring my life was in contradiction to what I actually really truly wanted in my heart. I was traveling around the world, which made it incredibly hard to meet anybody. I was about to turn 40 years old. And what I realized in those moments that I would come back to my Airbnb or I would just finish teaching a workshop in Berlin, that there was no one to share it with. And that was very painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that pain sort of directed me to this revelation that I needed to settle down a little bit more so that I could call the love of my life in. And so that's how I started to restructure my life. I collaborated with Rose Vanderkamp. We were doing Angelus. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be in Hawaii the entire time, but we ended up putting it in Amsterdam. So I moved to Amsterdam. And then that's where I met my daughter's father. And I was pregnant. And she was born by the time I was 42. And even though we're not together now, it still feels as though Noah and I were meant to be on some deeper spiritual, bigger level. And retreats, I don't know if I'll ever go back to it. Where I'm focusing my energy and time now is, you know, I'm able to save money because I don't have rent. Mm-hmm. And I want to buy a house. And I'm looking into Santa Fe. We're looking at going back into to Hawaii or maybe even staying here in Ohio close to my family. But yeah, online is where it's at. And I'm doing teacher enhancement courses. I'm doing my chakra study Sundays. And I feel really full, especially with design work. So I just finished laying out a book for Melissa and Doug. They're a multi-million dollar toy company founders. And Melissa is a survivor of depression and anxiety. And now she has a book coming out that I am so proud of. It's beautiful. And that's going to be releasing. And then the next client I'm working with is Jeff Krasno. He wrote a collection of essays from the time COVID started till is going to go up until the election on November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put that book out before Christmas. So,
nice. So there's there's settlement that is good for you. And on the other hand, there's the really creative projects that you are working on. So that is like that the travel is going a little bit into the back.
Yeah, by choice.
By choice.
COVID or no COVID, that's how I wanted it to be.
That's good. And how do you feel when you're really in the creative process? So let's say when you really feel that creativity flows through you, how is Erica feeling then?
Oh, like Superwoman.
like you are, is it a little bit like you are shown in the book in the Manipura chakra part?
Yes, yeah,
Okay.
definitely the fierceness.
Yes,
Yeah.
okay.
Wearing a fire suit, yeah, going 100
Yeah.
miles an hour, self-discipline, expansive, focused. Absolutely. I love that you brought that up.
Okay, nice. That's good. And there's a really, I love this quote. It's by Oprah Winfrey, and it's in the book also. It's in the Manipura Chakra part. So everybody has a calling, and your real job in life is to figure out why you are here and get about the business of doing it. What this thing to find out what is the higher purpose in life that every one of us has. When or could you remember the moment when you find out for yourself what your higher purpose is?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was, well, speaking of Jeff Krasno and the book that we're about to work on, Jeff Krasno is the founder of Wanderlust Festival.
Wanderlust, yes.
And yeah, I don't know if you've heard of them. They're yoga and music traveling festivals.
For sure, they are
And there's
also really
one.
much known in Germany. But it's good that you said who he is for all the ones who don't know him. But I love his site Commune, and he has a really nice newsletter. So highly recommended for everyone who's listening, also.
Yeah, the commune community is
Yes.
phenomenal. I think there's over 1 million people part of that community. It's really exceptional. So he, before a commune came around, he was doing Wanderlust festivals, and I went to Tahoe to take a class. And yeah, there was just this moment in class where I was observing a teacher, and I said, "That's the kind of power I want. I want to lead with that much love." And then I came home and started going after my teacher training, all because my yoga teacher at the time said that I should. So she's actually the one who initiated it. And then my parents validated that. They offered to pay for my teacher training because I didn't have the money at the time. And yeah, so I had a lot of support. I think my whole family knew that that was what I should be doing, even before I really knew it. My yoga teacher saw it, my mom and my dad saw it, and I just felt really supported and encouraged by everybody who loved me.
Nice. And what would you say for people who are still searching for that higher purpose? What I think that is a question that is coming up perhaps also in your classes or retreats or people who work with you. What are you saying to them?
Yeah, I think that clarity comes when you put something into action. So for someone who feels a little distracted or disoriented around what they're doing, or they have a hard time committing, there's a lot of work with that internal dialogue. Not only are you watching, where fear is stopping you from trying something that your heart really wants to do, or you're turning into that brat who says, "I don't do it. I want to just be mediocre for the rest of my life." I think you have to have a little bit of talk back in that sense, where you do need to come out of your comfort zone and do something that you would maybe normally cowered away from. There's an ecstatic dance, which I think is really valuable when you start to look at how you allow yourself to express freely. So that's a good sequence to do in chapter five. And then also the creative exercise in chapter five is called 100 questions. And you are asked to write down 100 questions. It's a very daunting task to do. But after you write 100 questions, you start to see themes. And those themes are coming from your highest self, or your guides and your spirits, if you're into that. They're using your language and the questions that you're asking to show you what's near and dear to your heart and near and dear to your purpose.
You are a facilitator of yoga retreats and creative workshops around the globe. And your quite unique approach in the work is to combine storytelling with yoga, art, and nature. And how you implement that for yourself and also for your students?
one of the ways that I'm doing it for myself is I'm putting a lot of calls out for people to join me. I'm creating a lot of excitement in what I'm offering. You know, I love what I'm offering right now in the Angela's Teacher Enhancement course. I love what I'm offering right now out of the book. And if I feel that excited about it, because that's what I want to learn and that's what I want to practice on myself, I think that makes me naturally charismatic and attractive to other people. So you feel that in my graphic design, you feel that in what I'm creating visually. And then when you sign up and you actually join the teacher's courses or you join the Chakra Study Sundays, you know, I've put a lot of time curating what it is I want to say in that 15-minute opening talk, or what I'm presenting on the slides in our teacher training, or you have a printable downloadable workbook. So those experiences of getting you to do creative exercises or prompting you with the subtlest, most simple journaling prompts, these are creating an experience for you. And that's really what I love to do. I love to create these journeys, like these transformative journeys. And how I open the class and how I close the class creates a lot of trust in the group. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bonding. Just because I share so openly about my own personal tribulations and challenges, how I've used the chakras to overcome them. And I think what that does is it sparks a lot of beautiful openings in people who join because they're witnessing it in me, which gives them the courage to do it for themselves.
Yeah, and that brings me also to another part that is written a little bit here down for my questions and stuff, because you said that how you open a class, how you end it, and how the talk that you're starting with, how that you prepare it really carefully, and how there's a saying also, to be a successful teacher is to be a successful communicator. So what is the role of the voice here for you, and how does that come together with the creativity?
That's a good question. It's a really good question, because our whole module, you don't have to put this in the podcast, but our whole module on the teacher training was on listening in on language. Mm-hmm. We just covered 2 hours of that. You know, what I find as a yoga teacher is that I've had to be a really good writer as well. Mm-hmm. And when I journal every morning, you know, I'm documenting that internal dialogue that's happening. And a lot of it is complaining. A lot of it's very negative. A lot of it's ranting. A lot of it's doubting and fearful. And by the time I finish journaling, or by the time I'm done writing, I'm able to transform that pain into peace. So I've coached myself through the darkness. Mm-hmm. And that's gotten stronger and stronger over the years. Man.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. And that is also a lot of the power of the journaling is it's really great, and it's transforming so much, and that together with the yoga movements, that is a special work, right?
Yeah, the journaling and the yoga. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, I guess you're connecting the dots between, you know, the real reason why you don't and why you can't believe in yourself and in your visions, and the real reason why you can't fully trust yourself, mostly because we're not fully showing up and being who we are, right? We're not showing up on the mat. We're not showing up in our writings. We're not even listening to our inner dialogue. We're just letting that inner dialogue run on autopilot. We're letting our programmed chakras run on autopilot. And in order to break our DNA open and to reprogram ourselves so that we do believe in ourselves, we do trust in ourselves, that's the self-discipline of it. We've got to go in and sit with the pain. We've got to go in and observe and extract the inner dialogue. We've got to put ourselves in some of these postures, right, where we open ourselves up, open our hearts, open our minds. And that's really self-led.
Beautiful. So we have like let's say four or five questions until we come to the end to be precious with your time. So what are, if you need to name them, what are your favorite spiritual books?
Maps to Ecstasy by Gabrielle Roth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe It's You, Lauren Zander.
Yes.
And Eastern Body, Western Mind, Anna Day
And they
Judith.
too. Thank you. Nice ones. What would you say, what do we have too much of in the world right now?
That's a tough one. I was going to say too much social media.
Can relate to this. And what would you say, what we need more in this world?
We need more community.
And for you personally, what is it what you need for a happy and creative life?
I need my daughter Noah in order to be creative and happy. And
Nice.
I also want to change the thing that we have too much of. I think we have too much fake news. I think that's what bothers me about social media is the fake news. Yeah, it could be fake news or racism. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting that at the first moment we hear the question, that it's always like it takes a moment to think, and then it's like when it's a little bit longer, then there's much more stuff coming, right? Is it? Yeah. How that is important before we end. How can people join your work? You mentioned already two things, but just to repeat that again. So how can people join your work right now if they are thrilled about what they hear about you and if they want to work with you?
Yes, join Chakra Study Sundays. If you go to my Instagram account, Erica underscore Jago, you're going to see a lot of posts about what I'm offering. This is live classes, three class bundles on Sundays where we focus on one chakra at a time. And right now we're on the sacral chakra. And if you miss it, it's fine because I'll send you the recording.
Perfect. So that is really nice. And I would like to just finish with one sentence out of your book that I read over and over again. So it quite resonated with me. And it says, "We liberated our creative power and applied our hearts and minds to fulfill our highest purpose, to make a positive impact in the world through our creative gifts. This experiential workbook is not about therapy. It is about the magic it takes to achieve fulfillment in life."
Yes. That makes me so happy. Yes.
There's so many nice parts and sentences in the book that it's really hard to just quote one. But this one, this idea of making a positive impact in the world and that through creativity, I think that is really touching the hearts and that's really nice. And I think that's what we need more in this moment and in this life. That is what I felt when I was reading that.
Yeah, it's so true. The world needs your creativity. And it doesn't have to be painting or music or art. Like it can be how you solve problems. It can be your personality, the way you creatively use your words or your energy. There's so many ways to be creative. And I think that creativity is very contagious.
That's really nice. That's a nice ending also of the interview. Erica, thank you so much for your answers, for your time. It was really an honor to have you here and that you answered so quickly and it was so easy to find a day that we could talk together. So thank you really, really much.
Thank you. It's an honor and congratulations on all your work.
Das war Folge 3 von Personality Talks mit unserem Gast Erica Jago. Folgt ihr auf Instagram, probiert Chakra Study Sundays mit ihr aus oder kauft am besten Angelus, das wunderbare Chakra Buch. Wir freuen uns wie immer, wenn ihr uns Feedback schickt, wenn ihr uns sagt, wie euch der Podcast gefallen hat. Ihr findet den Podcast auf Spotify und Soundcloud oder direkt bei uns im Magazin. Lasst uns außerdem wissen, wenn ihr Themenwünsche habt, und noch mehr freuen wir uns natürlich, wenn ihr den Podcast teilt und anderen davon erzählt. Alles Liebe und bis zur nächsten Folge.